Every day, US immigration policy looms large over the daily activities of real people. Fredley Charles is one of them. He's a father and husband living in Massachusetts. As a child, Charles arrived from Haiti on a valid visa. Soon after, he became a temporary permanent resident and attended high school in Brighton, Massachusetts. But as a young adult, Charles was arrested. Some charges were dropped and he was found not guilty on the only charge he faced. But he did not know his legal permanent residency had lapsed. Tangling with the criminal justice system put him into the crosshairs of federal immigration authorities who began pursuing his deportation. Soon, US immigration authorities could separate Charles from his wife and daughter. Charles would become one of over 20,000 Haitians the US government has deported since 2021. I recently spoke with Charles and his wife, Tasha. Their infant, Eliana, cooed away in the background as we talked. I started by asking Charles what he was doing when we called.
I spend my day taking care of my daughter every day because my wife is at work and I have to be the one to stay in the house to take care of her.
And she has some pretty big medical needs, right?
Yeah, she was born with a sickness called craniotasia. It's when you're born, you can't breathe through your nose and you need like a trach that can help you with a ventilator.
Could you put her in daycare or leave her with somebody else so, say, you could go out to work as well?
We can because you have to be trained to like take care of her. Like me and my wife, we have to go to certain classes to get her back home. If you're not used to like the sickness that she have, or if you're not used to like the situation she's in, it's gonna be pretty tough.
Tasha, I want to bring you into the conversation. This is your first child with your husband, Fredley. Yeah. How has it been for both of you having a child whose needs are so great?
Honestly, it's been a tough time. Like, you know, I've wanted a baby for so long and then finally being blessed with my husband to have one. And she came out the way she did with her condition. She was in the hospital for 6 months. Me and my husband going back and forth hospital every day to be with our child. It's definitely been stressful.
And what would it mean for your family, Tasha, if Fredley was to be deported?
A big loss, because he is the one, when I'm not home, like our baby is with him. Like nobody in our family knows how to care for my daughter. So for him to be taken away from us, he's the one that went through these trainings with me. So I feel I would need him in the picture than to try and replace him with somebody else.
You may be wondering how Charles and his family got into this desperate situation. In his teens, his temporary green card expired. Charles told us his family tried to get it renewed, yet despite his mother and siblings receiving their documents, his never arrived. No explanation as to why. Over the years, he's also tried other measures to get legal status, like applying for temporary protected status, also known as TPS, which allows people from countries like Haiti to live and work in the US after a natural disaster. It's been an expensive process with little to show for it. Then in 2018, he was arrested. Here's his lawyer, Ira Alkale, explaining what happened next.
As a younger person, Fredley had a charge of trespassing and carrying a firearm. Because the firearm was not a real working one, the charges were actually withdrawn by the prosecutor. Connected to that same charge was a misdemeanor trespassing charge. Fredley and a couple of other kids were accused of being in a vacant building. Fredley's lawyer brought that to trial, and Fredley was acquitted because there was actually no evidence that he had done that. So not only has Fredley never been convicted of a crime anywhere, but since his younger days, he has, of course, not been charged with one either.
Despite having no criminal record, immigration authorities still pushed for Charles's deportation. And in April of 2020, immigration authorities began the removal process.
I was in a holding facility in Alexandria. I was waiting to be deported. Early in the morning, And they came and called my call everybody else's name. Everybody had to go in the main in the lobby to get cuffed up and everything to go on the plane. My name was the first name that I called. When an ICE officer ended up calling my name and I answered, he told me you was not on the flight, so you have to step to the side.
Wow, how did that feel? It's like you dodged a bullet.
Yeah, it felt great because I was praying so hard. I really don't have no family out there. All my family's here, my wife, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, everybody's here. So me going out there, and especially what's going on out there right now, I don't know how it would have been.
Yeah, that was during the early stages of COVID. So you ended up coming home at that point. You're still dealing with the threat of deportation. Tasha, how does that work?
So pretty much they had him to be deported. They ended up taking him off the flight, ended up bringing him back to Boston and releasing him to me. And then now he was on supervision and stuff like that. And now he has to do check-ins once a year with ICE.
And every time, he leaves the house, do you have a fear that he might be picked up by ICE?
Every time, because the very first time ICE picked him up in January of 2019, we were literally walking out of his house to go to his criminal court date. And ICE just came and yelled his name and they took him. They lied to me and said, oh, it's okay, ma'am. We're going to bring him right back. He has to sign some papers. And he didn't come back for a whole year. So every day, me and him going out this house with our child, it's hurtful to know that at any moment, we don't know what can happen. They can just come and get him at any time.
Haiti is a really dangerous place right now due to gang activity and a very dysfunctional government and all the natural disasters that have happened. What do you think about him possibly going back?
I don't think he would last long over there, to be honest. Information that we even receive from there is like, it's crazy. Like, why would you want to send anybody back over there? Especially he has no conviction, no felonies, no nothing. He's married, we have a baby, ICE released him, no papers, no nothing. The case is still going on. They're still denying everything, even though we're giving them proof about our baby, her situation. And it's like no one over there has a heart. Because my daughter, like the bond that him and her have is like unbreakable right now.
Some people in your position, Fredly, wouldn't want to speak out, wouldn't want to share their story because it might be risky for them to attract attention. Why are you talking with us?
I'm talking to you guys because I feel like I don't have nothing to hide. Because I came here legally, I did all my paperwork, I got everything I'm supposed to have. And now I have to fight for my life and I have to fight for my family's life, because if I end up going over there, they're going to have to follow me in the condition my daughter is. It's not going to be good for her out there, no electricity. She got a lot of stuff going on that she need power for, and over there is no power.
Our producer, Gabrielle Healy, has been working with me, and we reached out to the government about this case. Gabby, what did they tell us?
Yeah, so Charles's case touches several government bodies, but when we reached out, pretty much all of them said they were just doing their jobs. ICE was pretty clear that they're following a judge's order. It was a judge with the Executive Office of Immigration Review at the Department of Justice that said Charles should be deported. And ICE says its agents are just carrying that order out. We also reached out to ICE's Office of the Principal Legal Advisor, who would have some discretion in Charles's case to cancel the removal order, but we didn't hear back.
And so what's next for Charles's case?
Charles's case is on its last appeal. Most appeals are denied, and if his is, Charles can be deported at any time. This will happen even though his TPS application is still pending. The government hasn't responded to it since Charles applied last April. And when we asked, Citizenship and Immigration Services said processing times vary for each application.
Thanks, Gabby. Now, the family and his lawyer hoped the government would use its discretion to terminate his deportation proceedings so he could legalize his status in the U.S. To date, they have refused to do so. Final words, Tasha. What would you say to the officials that are handling this case? at ICE right now, what would you want them to know about your family?
What is happening here? From the beginning, we never understood why my husband never got his green card and his dad, his brother, his sister did. Now his brother is an American citizen and my husband still has nothing. And to know we have our child with her condition and you guys are still willing to deport him makes no sense to me. That you guys are just willingly able to rip families apart like that and it wouldn't matter to you.
That was Tasha Charles talking with us about the threat of her husband, Fredly Charles's deportation. While the government decides what to do, Tasha and Fredly are taking care of Aliana. They're waiting to learn and living with the fear of what the future could hold for their family.